Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, it's been wonderful to sing your praises this morning, to know that heaven and earth are joined in together singing songs, and it's much easier to realize now that we know that heaven is the dimension really right here, Lord, and that means everything else is a dimension, and it's all moving the way you want it to move, coordinate with you, Lord. You're the head, you're everything, and that means, Lord, the bride really is all in one place too, actually, because it's in a dimension of its own, caught up in heavenly places in Christ Jesus in the spiritual resurrection, which we know to be the truth, Lord. And we know these things, my God, only because you have granted that knowledge to us. And we're very thankful for it, Lord, and we cannot praise you enough. Help us, Lord, to praise you this morning in the study of your word by believing it, O God, that your spirit would flow in and through us all. We all one together, Lord, walking in the light as thou art in the light, having fellowship one with another, the blood cleansing us, Lord, and we just progressing on and on until one day it's reaching out and grasping that tree of life. You, Lord, in a reality we've never known before. Coming into immortality. Help us to be sober this morning, Lord, very serious, as the prophet tried to teach us, that we might be more and more serious, Lord, and get away from everything, O God, but thee and the atmosphere, your spirit, Lord, your soul, your all in all. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Certainly wonderful to be here this morning, and you kind of come in a little bit worried, at least I do, just how everything is going to be concerning the Word, and after I'm sitting here a while, things begin to open up, and then I get a little bit worried that I can't tell you what opens up to me because I can't remember everything in continuity. But I find Brother Branham's sermons are just like the Bible. In fact, it is the Bible. It's for this hour. And almost every single word just means something really wonderful to us. Now, we're into the unveiling of God, and I suppose this might be the number, the fourth message. And in this message of the unveiling of God, we see the principle set forth by Brother Branham that God hides himself in order to reveal himself. Now, that's a very true statement. He has a mask, playing a role of his great drama. And that role and that mask together will reveal. But there is a great emphasis on the thought of hiding. So God hides himself in order to reveal himself. And that's a literal scripture phrase he's using in there. Dr. Weiss brings that out, that there is nothing hidden in, except it be in order that it might be revealed. So Brother Branham is very, very correct there. And he hides behind a mask which is used to play out a role in his great drama of redemption. Remember, it's a drama of redemption. The most commonly used mask or veil is that of the prophet. That's very important to understand that. The most important mask is that of a prophet. He himself, that's God himself, played that role when he was veiled in flesh, that's Jesus, who is the Christ, that's the anointed one. In his body of flesh, he was a prophet. Now, let's just look at something in here so that you'll understand a little more accurately this part of the prophet, because Brother Branham put great emphasis, it's Luke 13, on the role that Jesus played was the prophetic role. And, of course, we're too prone to quote John, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Now, you can get so wrapped up in a segment of a great role of the drama that you begin to miss the role. See, now, the Lamb was the prophet slain. So let's just look at this now and read it. We're going to read verse, if I got the right one here, Luke 11. That's what I said in 13, I beg your pardon. Maybe it's not even that one. We'll see. All right, 31 is right. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto Jesus, "Get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee." And he said unto them, "Go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem." The prophet was going to die, and the prophet was the Lamb. See, because the prophet is flesh. See, God's dealing. All right, you understand then. In the body of his flesh, wherein he was to give his life, he was that prophet. And it was a prophet giving his life. And now, that's the word, see, the bleeding word. Now, today he has again used the prophet as a veil. And once again, God is in plain view. If people will only break through the veil of denominations and break through the veil of the prophet to see God revealed exactly the living Word amongst us. See, now, we look at that thought there. God is in plain view. If the people can break through the veil of denomination, now, and the veil of the prophet. Now, the veil of denominations and the veil of the prophet goes right together. Because the denominations say, well, now, there's no such thing as a prophet to bring us further word. Not further word, really, but revelation. And they that's where your scholars come in, and they're the great students, they're the theologians, and they've got education, they got this and they got that, but they haven't got God. Now, to try to begin to explain God without God is a very brazen thing. And it's very, very wrong. Now, the next thing is, it's not just denominational veil that explains away the prophet, but when a prophet comes, you've got to break through that veil. Because the prophet is veiling the word, and he is really one very tough customer. And I'm just using that little vernacular there. Because he's hated. I mean, let's just face it. You got a real problem there, and we'll talk more about that as we get into Brother Brown's message. Now, you notice you're speaking of the veils. God veiled. It was done by, number one, manifestation through signs and wonders. Now, that he was manifested, you see, and he veiled himself in signs and wonders. And people said, well, now, what is that anyway? Now, you can see that there's something going on here that is supernatural, because medicine cannot account for it, science cannot account for it, nothing can account for it, but there's something going on. What is it? Well, you got a choice. You can say, I don't know. You can say it's God. You can say it's the devil. You can say, well, no, it's just nature. It's evolution. There's something out there. We admit something's out there, but we'll get it one of these days, and we'll break into it. Well, they're not going to do that. But you see, he's manifested in signs and wonders. Secondly, he manifests in a prophet who is a true sign to the people. Now, a prophet comes on the scene, he's very different. And, of course, as I said, he's a real bugbear. He's hard to get around, because his nature is a peculiar nature. And people just simply don't like his peculiarities. And then he's the third thing that he was manifested by is by scientific evidence. A picture there and a picture there. Well, people say, well, now, I don't know that I can accept that. Well, you don't have to accept it. There's no problem there. No problem. You don't accept it. It's fine. Just we accept it. We're a little bit nutty, of course, so that's all right. And then the fourth manifestation is by the word revealed. That is the word that comes forth. Now, that's God manifested again, because God's his own interpreter, and he's only done all these things in order to get you to understand that he is on the scene in the veil of the prophet in order to give you the revelation. So therefore, then you get the fourth one, and the fourth is their deliverance. There's your deliverance. Your deliverance is being one with this word. Because if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you have fellowship one with another. So there, and you, the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing. So now you have access to the fullness of the Holy Spirit. The blood has cleansed you, and now you're ready for the rapture. You've got deliverance, because that's number four. Now, the denominational veil and the prophet veil are almost impossible to break through, for men believe their creeds and dogmas and disbelieve in any message of this hour by a prophet. Well, they say, look here, the Bible is, we believe in the plenary edition. It's just always the same story. They're like the old lady, she said, bless God, I believe the Bible kibber to kibber, and I believe what's on the kibbers. Well, that's fine, that's a lovely thought, but the old girl should go to hell with that too. Because everybody's talking about the plenary division. That means the full book. They believe the Bible is, you believe it all. Recently, there was quite a controversy. Billy Graham got included in all the rest of them, but last year or two. And they talked about, is this the Word of God? Well, they say, I believe it contains the Word of God. Then what part is the Word of God? See? But, you know, a very strange thing happened one time. There was a person who used to go to the insane institution, and they liked that person to come and didn't know why that person had such great effect upon the insane. And so one day they asked the person, well, he said, I read the Bible to him. So this nurse or somebody said, well, he said, I could do that too. So when that nurse or whoever that person was tried it, no patient got any help. And so it came back and said to the person that was seemingly had something going for him in quieting the patient, said, well, hey, just a minute, I read the Bible like you read the Bible. I got no results. He said, what part did you read? And the person said, well, I read the front of it here. We said, that's not the Bible. That's what some man commented on. Didn't work. So the late Dr. Spurgeon, great, tremendous man of God. Most people have no idea about his healing ministry. If I could find you one page written by, I forget his name, Dr. So-and-so, the great Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, who knew Spurgeon, wrote a biography of him. There's a whole chapter devoted on the great ministry that Dr. Spurgeon had. And it's literally unbelievable in the face of what people today claim to have healing ministries, what he accomplished. They said when he went to insane institution, his prayer was so ominous and so horrible, like in the sense of stillness and the power of God, that people snapped out of their insanity. Now, you see, that man was a great, tremendous student of the Word of God, a great teacher. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Where is our power today? Now, we saw a parallel ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and the prophet, but you said blinded the people. Now, people don't want to talk about Spurgeon, the healing ministry. Oh, they'll talk about, you know, the plowman sermons. They'll talk about this, the treasury of David. They'll talk about the 12 great, not mysterious, but unique sermons. And they'll talk about this number of sermons and that number. But ask them, say, hey, did you know that that man had a fantastic ministry healing?
What are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about a ministry healing. Didn't you hear me? You know, that's the way it is. Now, so they disbelieve because of their creeds and their dogmas. As Israel was blind to its visitation, so the Gentiles are blind to this visitation. See? Now, there's a pattern here that we understand only too well. Brother Kasirka mentioned that last night. Very, very good. And in this pattern here, he said, Jesus said, wherefore I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some you'll kill and crucify, some you'll scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city. And then he says, over, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, you would not. Well, what, now he says here, how often would I have gathered you? Well, he's only there once. That was one gathering. He said often. Now, if you're going to do a thing often, that's more than three. In fact, it sounds habitual. How did he do it? By prophets. God was in the prophets. Now, it's strange that people want to circumvent that. They want to put their own interpretation to it. This is where Brother Branham, you know, had a problem. Because he'd say a thing the way the Bible said it, and people want to just, well, what about it? What about it? What about it? Nothing about it. That's what it said. Amen. God was in the prophets. How much? That's his business. How long? That's his business. See? That's his business. Now, Peter gives a bit of a key. Brother Branham used the same key. He said, the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Why, he said, a man didn't have a thought in it. And he'd say things that he didn't understand. And no doubt he said things he wish he hadn't said. Oh, come on, puts a problem on the spot. You find a man that preaches the Word of God and doesn't put himself on the spot. That man's not preaching the Word of God.
Amen.
Poor fap, he's got that thing so messed up, he's got a bunch of hogwash. You know, hogwash is, well, maybe it's hog food too. Hog food is, well, you can eat what a hog wants to eat, that's okay by me, but dogs even go to vomit. See, you can see that the whole thing is bad. God uses prophets and people don't want that prophet veil. They can't see through it, see? Now, I just say this, may God have mercy on the church of this hour so she can see the mercy seat of God's grace in plain view. Now, we're going to go back to page 20 where we left off at, and this will be a continuation of the last message because I don't think we got it all on the tape. So we're going to read it again, beginning back here in, take 20 and we'll start at maybe page, at paragraph 124. And people say, oh, that's nonsense, that's fanaticism, there's nothing to that. That's nonsense, that's Beelzebub, that's the devil, that's fortune-telling, that's this, that they see. They say the same, the same thing they said about him. Now, Brother Branham is comparing his ministry and this hour right now with the hour of the Lord Jesus Christ and the hour of Moses. And what he's really doing, he's taking Moses and this hour, and Jesus as an interposition, putting him in the middle so that as Moses looked to Jesus, the fulfillment, so now at this end, we look back and see it's the same. There's one God. He's doing the same thing in the same way, so there's no need for a mistake. Now, if God was doing one thing in many different ways, then there's a problem. But you go into the, you can do that actually in chemistry. You can do that. You can take a brilliant chemist and I can bring him something and say, hey, analyze this because I want to make that product. And he'd say, well, sure, I'll analyze that for you, but I don't know that you can make the product. He said, that's just a minute now. If I can't make that product, what's made you chemist? Well, can you tell me where the man got every one of his products, from what source, and how, in what, you know, progression? under what conditions he mixed them. What if the man used a catalyst? The catalyst is not going to be in there. He's done removed it. So now you're up a stump. So you see, when you come down to something important as your soul salvation, you better know that God's got this thing simplified and it's in a rut. It's in a tube. See? That brings it down to simplicity. If you just let your thinking go and your heart stop beating fast, trying to figure things out. You know? I'm not talking to a comatose people either. I don't mean that. No, no. Your minds have got to be with it. We'll talk about that too. We'll see it. But you've got to let your thinking go. This is the worst job that any one of us has, is the veil of indoctrination that Brother Ben called indocumentation or something. I don't know, he might have been right. Got the wrong documents, honey. This is the document. I don't disbelieve anything that man said. He had it down pat. I mean, he had it down pat. The trouble is the mind that's been trained, and maybe not even trained so much. You got your own ideas. I got mine. And invariably, when the word comes to us, we are interpreting or thinking in terms of what we have previously thought or thought we have known or been trained. And, oh, that can be murder. In fact, it is murder. And you know, man doesn't like to give up his traditions. You know, it's more than what Brother Branham said, well, my grandmother, my grandfather, my father, my mother, this and that. Oh, you bet. You know, it's like the old saying, Baptist born and Baptist bred and Baptist till I die. See? And that's the truth there, aren't right, now? Oh, church, and if this tape goes out, can't you see ministers of the gospel where you're living? Can't you see the hour you're in? Now, where you're living is the hour you're in. That's the chronology of God. God showing himself. This is just a minute now. Where do you get that one? See? They're going to argue that one. Look, he took that temple veil and tore it to pieces that they might see God in plain view, and they were too blind to see it. They say, well, I don't know about that God being in plain view. Well, that's where God was. That's where they're meeting God. The high priest went in once a year in blood. You know, their temple worship was fouled up since the time of Jeremiah. They never did find the ashes of the red heifer. They still haven't found it, in my knowledge. Israel had been incomplete for years. Way, way back when. But they bluffed their way through. They tried to bluff their way through. Couldn't work. So, Brother Bay, we had the Bible 2,000 years. No, you haven't. You had part. Well, you haven't. You haven't. Because people had fragments. This never got the public to back about the time of King James. What's it, 1500 and some or 16? I can't remember dates, and I care less. I don't believe we got 500 years of it out of the 2000. See? They were too blind to see it. And he's done the same thing today, putting his word right out in front, what he promised. What did he promise? What word? You say, well, I got the Bible back 500 years ago. Now, where was God before? You see, a part of it did it. A part of it did it back there, a part of it doing every age, and now we'll get the completion. That was just perfect as come. There's no more to come. This is it. Once for all repentance, no more. See, people can't understand that. They don't know what the word perfect means. The word perfect means finished, polished off. So therefore it's finished and polished off. You take any, you spoil it, you add something, you spoil it. You know? It's not you and me looking out there to take away or to add to the thing. It's do we understand this is it. This is it. And then if this is it, you look at it. You say, hey, that's what it is. This is the manna from heaven.
Amen.
This is the nourishment that's going to take us through our wilderness at this time. And remember, Brother Branham said he was afraid the church would wander for 40, 50 years, and it's been doing it. Hasn't got through yet. They're going to take a people into the millennium. And the pillar of fire is doing it. Remember, Moses said, and he was the mouthpiece of God, he said, this people have a word that nobody else has. Now, not just a God, it's a word. Sanctify them by that word, thy truth, that word is truth. And so on. By the washing of water, by thy word. Give me a bride of such character, stand as the message, stand in the water, separation as you washed, and so on, so on, so on. All right, he brought into plain view, putting his word right in front, what he promised. What's he promised? Every promise in the word lying right before us in plain view. Well, that's what it is. Now, what is the word of this hour? Malachi 4, Revelation 10, Matthew 4, Luke 17, 30, John 14, 11, and 12. All right, what's Malachi 4? You know that. I send you Elijah the prophet to turn the hearts of children back to the Father. What's Revelation 10? The mighty one come down, put his foot on land and sea. What's Matthew 4? The ministry of the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles, doing the same thing that he did when he was here in the flesh. And remember that Jesus, or Jehovah, is not Jesus, a body of flesh. It is the original Elohim. Now, we'll get this later on, but I can't touch this in this series. We'll get this a little later on. All right? What is Luke 17 and 30? Luke 17 and 30 is the revelation of the Son of Man. And without it, you will never get, you'll not be a part of the thunders, the part of the seals, or not be a part of the Word. You just won't make it. Why? Because you're another age. Now, it's under the time of the Son of God that the Son of Man ministry is here in the revelation. Because God has given the gift of His Son again in the form of the Holy Spirit. That's why they crucified themselves to fresh the Son of God. See, that's the Word living itself out amongst us. All these things the prophet brought us, they're very clear, they're very good. If you just let your thinking go and say, that's it, that's it, that's it. All right, now what about John 14, 11, and 12? All right, we'll go to that because I'm not too great at quoting everything. It's not incumbent upon me to do it anyway. I can read my Bible. Believe me that I am in the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. You'll see how that works a little later on. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do because I go to my Father. It doesn't say they, it says he. Now, you got a compound meaning here. The compound meaning is this. If there is more than one person will do this, it's an individual each time. There's only one person will do this. One person did it. The ministry of William Branham. A lot of people don't like that. That's fine by me. I believe it, so I got a right to believe what I want to believe, so do you. All right. 126. You know what the Gentile church does? The same thing the Jewish church did. Too blind to see it. That's all. It'll be on their hearts just as it was that day. Now, what were they too blind to see? They were too blind to see that God was acting in a man. And it was the hour that he should do it. And the conditions he should do it. And everything lined up to Scripture. But it didn't line up according to their thinking of Scripture. As Brother Branham said, Jesus came according to the Word, not according to their thinking. Or their interpretation of the Word. Okay, we read last week, Hebrews 10, to see what happens. Hebrews 10, and that would be 26 to 27. I guess I got it written down here. Now notice it says, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Now you notice that, brother, sister. Look, let's take a look at that. That's the same as John 3:16-17 and so on. If you don't come to the light, you lost the sacrifice. Now that's why Brother Branham could say the blood's off the mercy seat. It wouldn't matter if you need the blood's off the mercy seat or on the mercy seat. It went back to the elements or this or that. It tells you flat. You talk about a sacrifice. You talk about the chemistry. Forget it. You turn this down. Now, you don't forget it as though you put it to one side and say, hey, we don't believe in blood. We don't believe in the efficacy. We don't. Look, I believe more than ever. The more I get in this Word, the more I'm forced to believe in a sacrifice. I look at a prophet and see him and everything else. I'm so rotten. I say, my God, thank God for the sacrifice. Thank God that he doesn't even see me. He hears my voice through the blood and looks at my representation, Jesus Christ, the same as he does for yours. If we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth. Now, what does that mean? It tells you flat when truth is presented and you say no, you turn it down. You enter unbelief the same as Eve did. Forget it. You haven't got a way of escape. There remains no more sacrifice for sin. In other words, you blew the sacrifice. You threw it aside. And then when you want to call on the sacrifice, it's not there. Or you say, well, I want a different sacrifice. No way. No way. But a certain fearful looking of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Now, brother, sister, when you see judgment and fire, you are talking about this hour.
Amen.
As there is a flood, there's going to be water. There wasn't fire at the time Titus took Jerusalem. Oh, sure, they burnt some things down. Come on, that doesn't mean that much. There was fire back there at the time that people turned on Moses, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Who do they represent? Denominations. The vulgarity of denominations. Their creeds and their dogmas. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy? who had trodden underfoot the Son of God, had counted the blood of the covenant, which is sanctified and holy thing, and done desperate to the Spirit of grace. Now he's telling you right there, what's the Spirit of grace? He brings forth the headstone with shoutings of grace, grace. Turn down the end time word, brings on fire. You show me where it does, and I show you where it does. Hebrews 6. See, every time you see fire, get this flat. Every time you hear fire in the Bible, you know it's end time, right?
Amen.
Come on, get your thinking lined up, brother. See, we're not playing. We got key after key after key from the prophet message and right here in this word here. Every time Son of Man, you know just where it is. God manifested in flesh, just where it is, what it is. See, they're not foreign phrases anymore. See? We've gone through this thoroughly. We're going through it thoroughly. Now, they trod underfoot the Son of God. In what form? The form of the Holy Spirit. In the role of the Son of Man. Prophet. See? Can't change it. There's no way you can change it. All right. Notice, death to stay away from it now must go into it through the veil or you won't. What do you mean by that? All right, let's read again and find out. Notice, death to stay away from it. Now, stay away from what? To stay away from the understanding of the role of the Son of Man through a prophet thoroughly vindicated, manifesting the Word of Almighty God, which is that role of the Son of Man. God in plain view, that brings you life.
Amen.
Now, if you don't take it, it brings you death. Now, it's in the veil of the prophet. So, therefore, if you turn down the veil, you turn down the revelation, you won't live. Because it says here, notice death to stay away from it. So, if you don't stay away from it, you live. Is that right?
Amen.
If you come and join yourself to it. See? Now remember, Jesus came and joined himself to the disciples, and they didn't know for nothing. But when they begin to join themselves to him, that was a different story. That's when he disappeared out of their sight. They understood. Now he said, to stay away from this, there's death. You must go into this, or you won't live. No life outside of this. Now look, I know that sounds very terrible. One lady that wears slacks today over there in Norway and cuts her hair because she says she's got arthritis, can't bring her hand up over her head. I think neighbor ladies could take care of it. Her thesis says, don't tell me, and she told my wife particularly, because I wouldn't waste my time on, and poor Allison stuck there in the house, she had to take it. She said, don't tell me these lovely Pentecostal people I know don't have eternal life and won't make it. I'm telling her nothing. The vindication right here says they're not going to. Because they're not lovely Pentecostal people. We are the original Pentecostals. Because we've got back to originality. We are original Ephesians because we've got back. And don't tell me like some preachers say, well, remember, Ephesus was a fallen woman. You preach what you want. I don't care who it is. I don't preach that. That's wrong. There was a time she hadn't fallen. She was one of that word. And Brother Branham said, we've got to return to Ephesus. Now, if he said we've got to go back there, what, to fall again? I tell you, that's why this church stands the way it is. I'm glad to be off the road. You want to hear my poison? Get my tape. That's right. You want my poison? Get the tape. I won't ask you to come here. You want to come, that's fine. It's your business. But be careful with this word. Not what preachers say, it's what the prophet said. How God could have mercy on them, and he blanks out. But remember what it was, that God is manifesting what was behind that veil. What was behind the veil? Well, you say word was, yes, but not just word, printed page. No, that wouldn't do it. Behind the veil had to be the current word of that hour and the life in it for that hour. And the life's got to come through something. Watch what was behind that veil. What was behind Brother Branham? What was the veil in Brother Branham? Well, just You know what? We'll go down the road with Moses in a little while. I won't get there today. Look, let's face it. This is going to be an all-day session for 6 or 7 paragraphs. What's behind the veil? The Word. Now we're going to tell you in paragraph 128 what that Word really is. Was it just this printed page or was it Logos? Let's find out. What did it veil? The Word. What was it? It was in the Ark. Okay? What was the Ark? The Ark of the Covenant. Now what's he talking about? Moses' day, they said, make you an Ark and put the Word in it, right? Okay, we know what the ark is. It's like a box. And on top of the box, there were the cherubim who faced inward. And in the box was the rod that budded and the manna, and that's the scrolls, or the word, for the scrolls. There came a day in the book of Revelation, I believe it is, that when the ark was open, there was no rod, there was no manna, there was word. So therefore, the ark contained the word. Brother Branham says, all right, now it's in the ark. What's in the ark? The word. All right, now the Ark of the Covenant. In plain English, no Ark, no Word.
Amen.
Now he's talking about prophets, Jesus, Moses, William Branham, their flesh, and what was in it. Now you do what you want with it. Okay? No Ark, no Word. Okay? Let's go to Malachi 3:1. Oh, I know you say, well, Brother Bale, that has to do with only John the Baptist. I got word for you. There's got to be an omega to that one. It's going to our day, because the hearts have got to be turned back to the fathers. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, Brother Branham categorically stated John the Baptist was a messenger of the covenant, and he said that Jesus was. Now, therefore, if you're going to go to Malachi, he said, the day cometh, it shall burn like an oven. But he said, I'll rise with healing on my wings, in my wings. That's immortality for those that believe. And he said, I send Elijah. So therefore, you got to him again. So, all right. In Malachi 3:1, we got a messenger of the covenant. And that means that we have the omega of the alpha. Because the hearts must be turned back to the fathers, right? Okay. Let's find out what we're talking about. We go to Hebrews. The 6th chapter. Now, what's in Hebrews, the 6th chapter? The end time revelation of going on to perfection, which people turn down, though every evidence of it being the truth is there. Right? They know it's there. All right, now watch. Beginning in verse 13. For when Abraham, when God made promise to Abraham, now, remember, this is before the burning. So just a minute, brother. I'm glad you said that, because I want to persuade you. But that which beareth thorns and briars rejected is nigh to cursing, whose end is to be burned. You turn this down, the end is burning, right? Huh? Turn down Moses' message, you've got ground, right? Turn down Jesus, you've got cut off. Turn down this, it's over. For the Gentiles, then Israel turns down, they get it too. Because remember what? The earth is purged, the church is purged, Israel's purged, right? Okay? It's wind-up time. Okay, it tells you here now. For when God made promise to Abraham, this before the fire, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I'll bless thee, and multiplying I'll multiply thee. No, he said back there. Now, Brother Branham said, God will replenish the earth again and repopulate it, not by sex, but he said through a resurrection. See? Right? Okay. Let's go to Revelation, the 10th chapter now, so we can prove the thing out. And you should be way ahead of me by now to know just exactly what I'm going to say, because you're well trained here, I do believe, by listening and going through tapes and everything else. And I saw not a mighty messenger come down from heaven. Now this is the rainbow, covenant rainbow, so this is the messenger of the covenant. Now watch. He had a rainbow upon his head. That's the same one as in Revelation 5:1. And his face was as it were the sun, his feet as pillars of fire. He had a little book open. He set his right foot upon sea, left upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, 7 thousand voices. And when the 7,000 voice, I was about to write, and I heard a voice saying, seal up those things with 7,000, write them not. And the angel stood upon the sea and upon the earth, lifted his hand to heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever and ever. Now, who was it that came down? This mighty messenger, God himself. So what's it mean, swearing by himself? He came down and literally proved that it was he himself who had given the word, and this was now the word for the hour, and this was the occasion, the time, this is it.
Amen.
God vindicated himself. As Brother Branham said, God literally curried pleasure with the people. Literally went out on a limb to tell the people, look, I love you and I want you to know all about me, how wonderful it is, how sweet, kind, and this is the word, and I'm going to heal the sick, I'm going to do everything to just turn your hearts right around. And there he is right there, the pillar of fire, and there's William Branham. That's just the anointing above him. That's the veil that God used, and then God used the man as a veil. Oh, people don't like that. See, there's no way they can believe what we're preaching here. There's no way, see. It's in the ark. Now, Brother Branham, the word's in him, he's an ark.
Amen.
He's an ark of a covenant.
Amen.
Sure, because God gave covenant, I will send Elijah. Well, here's the covenant man.
That's right.
There's the covenant God.
Hallelujah.
Now, what's he doing? Swearing by himself.
Glory.
And swearing by himself. What? How do you know he swore by himself? He brings it to pass. Look, I said last night, you don't keep proving the Pythagorean theorem when you're going to start doing your geometry and stuff. It's been proven. You just do it. You don't have to get a token to apply. You got to apply it. See? Oh, poor old, like Brother Brown said, way back in the Garden of Eden, they made fig leaf aprons. He said, man, always rushes to try to do something, and God just walked by grace and did it. And he brings forth the headstone crying, grace, grace, grace.
Hallelujah.
Miselected grace. Not miselected, let's go with miselection, but M-I-S-S, a lady. A virgin lady at that, bless God. Not here. Not these other things. Okay. Now, it was in the ark. It was the word that veil hid. See? They come and say, look at that. Old rough box. See? And Jesus was that word, and he is that word, and the veil of his flesh hid it. See? Now, there it is. And today, the veil of tradition hides the word again, saying, now, where is that veil of tradition? It's on the minds. It's under the eyes. Now, just watch. Just hold it there. I'll just give you a hint. The veil of tradition hides the word again, saying, it's not so, but it is so. God testifying of it. Can the words of a man do what that man's words did? No. No. Well, there's got to be some trick to it. Oh, there is a trick. The great trickster himself, God. Hiding to fool the public. So simple. Give us something complex. What for? The only thing I know complex good for is complex starches. Eat your brown rice and your baked potatoes. Get off your junk food. Get back to the Bible, get away from your junk food. Creeds and dogmas. Get your diet ironed out. Listen, brother, sister, you can't survive one without the other. What God gives the physical is a type of the spiritual. Spiritual type of the physical. Right on down the line. See, the man that was hidden. The Bible speaks of hidden manna. What's he going to hide it in? Oh, come on. What, if he's going to hide it, then God's such a good hider, ain't no use you looking. Oh, he doesn't say that. He says it's hidden in order that the hiding reveals it.
Praise God.
Now, if you're going to look at the mast, take your time and breathe it, you'll plunge right on through the mast. See, Brother Branham stood there. Well, how would you put it? Like an angel with a sword? Sure, he said he had one.
Amen.
Sure. There's a lot in this business of profit, brother, sister. Let's not play it too low. In the meantime, don't play it too high. There's the middle of the road. All right. He said, but it is so. God testifying of it, blasting himself right out as bright as the sun before everyone, and they fail to see it. God be merciful. Now, there's your epiphania started right now. Of course, I get a lot of flack because I use these words, the epiphania, the brightness, you know. Oh, that's got to be when he meets the devil. That's no problem.
Amen.
You mean to tell me that he suddenly says, oop, I got to work up some bread. Get your dynamo generation going. Oh, come on. Look at what kind of a God people got in their minds anyway. I'll tell you what, a stupid God like we are. Stupid like we are. Not understanding the very precept that Brian read we've been going through here and Brother Branham went through. He said, everything is in me as a little boy. I'm a son. I'll be a husband. I'll be a father. I'll be a grandfather, a great-grandfather, and so on down the line. But he says, me all the time. Are you going to have a God without brightness? The Bible said he's so bright you can't even get near him. But suddenly he's going to wump it up to meet the devil? Oh, come on.
Amen.
There's a time for everything. And Brother Branham said he blasted himself up with the brightness of the sun in this hour. He said, well, I think the prophet was using metaphors, bless God, and this is no place for metaphors. This is no place for blind people here. No matter how bright and beautiful the sun is, the blind can't see. Brother Branham said they're not that way. He said they go in the basement. He said, I don't believe there's a sun out there. He said, I don't believe you tell me. I ain't even bother looking. He said, forget it. What more do you want God to blast out and say, I challenge you to bring me 24 of your worst cases. I guarantee healing. And they didn't take him up. So he got down to Mexico, near Mexico, and said, I challenge you to bring me your worst case. Show me 5 billion people on earth can make that statement. One man with one God can do it. Blasting it out as bright as the sun. There's part of the Epiphania. It's going to get brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter.
Hallelujah.
Going to be brighter when we're glorified. Come back with not the Son of Man, though he is the Son of Man. Now he's Son of David. You think that's not going to blast it brighter? Now this is bright here. Got everybody confused. What when he becomes the Ancient of Days under Daniel? He is the Ancient of Days. But what if he plays his role there? How bright will that be? Earth will fly from his presence. You're not flying yet. But you mean if he didn't just put that veil a little further? And what sin wouldn't make those, all the earth and universes off? You've got to be kidding if you don't see this. God! Mighty God.
Hallelujah.
All of God.
Amen.
Everything ever was and will be. See? It just keeps that veil, just keeps opening up, a little brighter, a little brighter. Why is it the path of the righteous goes brighter more and more to the perfect day?
Amen.
A light to my path, to my feet. The brightness. But they want to reserve it just down the road. Oh, come on. Jesus doesn't change. They're just roles and hours and times. This is that time right here to be lying in the presence of the sun, just soaking and sopping up the word. Like the old song, dip your bread, Mary, dip your bread, dip your bread in the gravy. Oh, gravy's fine. And I said, dip your bread, Mary, dip your bread, dip your bread in the wine. We shall go on Sunday to the church on Sunday. You getting any gravy, any wine? Better start dipping in there up to your elbows, kid. Now he said, they failed to see it. God be merciful to us. Now notice, there are two veils in there that are very hard. One is the veil of denomination, which is over the mind, and the second is the veil of the prophet. They just can't see through. He, a man, could take this position. But we, of course, are different. Yes. See, we're full of the Holy Ghost. And being very full of the Holy Ghost and very humble, we do not make such outstanding and outlandish claims, you see. Certainly not. They ain't got the guts, because they ain't got what it takes to have the guts. If you don't have the goods, it doesn't pay to advertise, brother, sister.
Hallelujah.
It's an old commercial joke right there. Guy tried to run a sale. Like the successful fellow across the street, he said, well, God, they put up a sign. They put up a great big sign. The people says, where's the merchandise? Well, he said, I don't have any. He didn't make a nickel. She saw the crowds coming. It wasn't the sign that said it. The man had something real. The other hardware merchant had the goods. All right, and type Moses coming from the presence of God with the word of God for that age. Now, people understand that. They know the word of God for that age wouldn't work with us. They say, hey, the law's gone. But listen, I'm going to tell you, you're still mixed up. You think you're not mixed up, brother, sister. Let's get over here to, what is it? Yes, what is it? Colossians? Let's find out. I just may have got myself mixed up in this one. Sure not in that page. Let's see if it's in this page. Ah, yes, Colossians, and it's the second chapter. And in verse 13, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now, right here, there are people who don't even know law from grace. And they say, see, when he nailed all this to the cross, it wasn't the Ten Commandments, it wasn't the moral laws, the spiritual fallibilities of man, it was those pots and pans. And the bugging of having to go to the temple. And wash and do a little here and there. I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. That is the biggest bunch of hogwash and nonsense I've heard in my life. That is the most stupid thing I have ever heard. If washing a pot and a pan would bug you, it wouldn't bug me. Because if all I would have to do is go to the temple as a Jew and do a little certain something and say, that's it. 1 whole year ahead of me under the blood, the precious blood. No matter what happens, I'm an Israelite.
Glory to God.
Fat. That's nothing but types.
Hey.
He brought it out, those, the Ten Commandments. He nailed them to the cross, the moral,
amen,
the spiritual. Where you and I, spiritual bums, could have that taken out of our lives and come back full of the Holy Ghost. Jesus didn't pay any price for pots and pans. He fulfilled the pots and pans. They were simply types. Red heifers, maybe not red heifers, but rams and doves and everything else. Red heifer signifies the bride. See? Was against, what was against us? Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. We did it. We were. And the reason we did it, because we were.
Right. Yeah.
See? God taking our place, seeing a representation now. People are so mixed up they can't tell law and grace right at this minute. Where are the people then today? And they say, I don't need a prophet. I don't need some manifestation. I'm finding my own way. Like a man come over here and he said, what? He said, now, he said, you people, he's from India. He said, you people, he said, you need a Brother Branham to bring you back the word. And he said, we always had in India. Like I told you, I said, I heard him preach a sermon with four verses of scripture. I preached a sermon with 200. And who's got the word? We tell you what, the more word I had, the more I was mixed up too. Doesn't mean the less I have them mixed up. It means I got the word right. So I now have more of the word, in contradistinction having less of the word, but more of a printed page. That is not hard to understand, is it? Okay, now listen. Type Moses come to the presence of God. The word of God for that age. Now watch. We're in the Exodus 19. Don't miss this. Now, Exodus 19. Moses coming to the presence of God, or 20:21. Now, see what he's telling here. Chapter 19, verses 20:21. Moses is coming from the presence of God. He had been into the word. Now, what's that? Logos. Now, what word over here? Watch what was behind that, the veil, the word. Now, he's talking about Logos. The word. What was it? See, it's in the ark. All right, now, Jesus was the ark. He had the word. Now, Moses is the ark. He has the word. Okay? He had been to the word. The word had been written. Number one, the word was written. And number two, Moses was in the presence of God with the word. He had the word for that age. All right, now, notice he had been into the word. Okay? A certain word was written on tables of stone. And he was in the presence of God with the word, right, and in the word, in Logos. Now, that's a complete coverage. There's a word for each age. Now, notice the repetition. A word for each age. Now, as I say, they'll give credit. We don't want Moses' law back there, but they're still so messed up they can't see a word for this hour.
Yeah. Amen.
See, they don't understand. I'm not panning for not understanding. I'm only panning the situation because there has been a vindication. See? It would be unjust on our part to take a stand if there wasn't a vindication. Not that we say, we're right, hallelujah, we're somebody, we take a preeminence. But Paul warned us, this bride standing here that doesn't taste death does not have any preeminence, period. It is he who has the preeminence. See? And under him comes the prophet. Okay? Now, a word for every age, as he repeats it. That's about the fourth time now. A little bit here. And Moses coming forth, his face shone so. See? The word was in him, ready to be manifested, given out to the people. Now, the word to be manifested means to be given out. And it'd be under certain conditions. All right. Now, therefore, he had walked into it. And in that time, God's finger just wrote dazzling upon the stones. So therefore, he is in it, in the presence, and it's in him. And here he is. If that's not a full manifestation of Logos in its proper role, now you see, I added that, the role of prophet, then I don't know what I'm talking about. But you see, I don't know that that was the full. I didn't say it was the full. We're talking about that hour. You think Moses came with any less than what God wanted to have? No way, shape, and form. Well, you see, I thought God wanted to have the people. He did, but he put it through Moses. Like he poured into Christ for redemption. And yet Christ could talk to him. Don't ask me how. I don't understand all these things. I just believe it because he said so. And I'm willing to take it. Now, the true word, God had written it, and it was with Moses. See? Notice it was with Moses and was ready to be manifested. He, Moses, was the word to them. He was the living word hid. Notice the identification, Moses' law, Paul's gospel. So what's wrong with William Branham's message?
Amen.
See, I don't understand people. They're always so happy to vaunt themselves. But when somebody else comes along with a better cheesecake, well, their cheesecake is better. Costs less money, everything else. And it's more humble, too. Sure is. I don't like humble cheesecake. Make mine rich. Load the whipped cream on it, too. Yeah. I hope you get what I'm saying here. I'm talking about the Word. Okay. He was the living Word. Hid. Sure he was hidden. Hidden by veils of creeds and dogmas over the mind. Veiled himself. Moses had to put a veil over his face. All right, now you're getting in a little deep here. You got a veil and a veil again. Now you just can't take what the prophet said. Well, I think it's this, I think it's that. You gotta say what he said. Now he said Moses was a veil, veiled himself. Moses was a veil to the Word, then he himself was veiled. Veiled himself, Moses had to put a veil over his own face. Why? He was that Word.
Amen.
Amen. Until that Word was made known, Moses had to veil himself. Amen. Now, what is he talking about? Is he talking about the fact that Moses veiled himself with God on the grounds that Moses could not possibly do anything apart from God? That certainly is true there. Because it says that glory was going to fade. It couldn't bring immortality. No siree. There was nothing in the law to bring immortality. Well, it was full of types and shadows of that which was going to bring it. And you worked in a natural order to get it. But this is entirely different. You've got to wait for this Word to work itself out now. There's nothing you can do about it. See? So, now it says Moses himself put a veil over his face. Now, could Moses just put a veil over his face and that be God? Well, let somebody else try. Here, God, come on, veil me. No, that's true, but it's not true. You could say that in one word. All right, what's going on here? Well, his face did shine, but he put another veil over that so the face wouldn't shine. Well, what's that? To me, that simply is the fact that this man, William Branham, was a human being. And he acted like a human being. And he had a ministry that people could consider God. But when it came to the man, they wouldn't recognize his authority and his position. And he did everything, as did other prophets, to just back right away. Go and read about these men in the Bible, the prophets. Micaiah could have stood there and said, listen, I want to tell you something, you foreign pit prophets, you're a bunch of bums. And King ought to tell you, you got a bunch of bums around you because you're the big bum. Birds of a feather flock together, light brings forth light. You're a heathen, just like your wife. In fact, you're worse, you're a hybrid. That bunch of birds with the same thing. No, he didn't say that at all. He said, you're an Israelite king. He said, you're Israelite prophets. But he said, I tell you what, I can't go along with them. Now, he was veiling himself right there.
Yeah.
He veiled himself right there. No way. And he also could have said, hey, you boys, you know, you've got scripture. That's right. God gave this land to us. You're legitimate. He's not just Mindy said, there's a prophet Elijah made a statement about Ahaz's blood being licked up. And I got to know if he's going to go up there and come back again, because this might be the one time he goes out and he doesn't come back. On the other hand, it might be the time he goes out and he does come back. That's a different story. See, I got to find out from God. Your brother, he wasn't veiled right there as the man of God. Let me tell you, you have missed your guess, my brother said. You have missed your boat. You're standing on the dock.
Yeah.
Prophets throw curves. And many times they don't throw curves. They just got to be themselves. Oh, yes. It's a little tough, isn't it? Moses veiled himself. So the question comes, did they know Moses? The answer was no. How many knew William Branham? How many really know him? Good question. Well, we know him historically. We know him scripturally. We know him spiritually. I believe we do. He said, do you see it? Wherever the Word is, it's veiled. In other words, brother, sister, there are literally obstacles which God places there and then in His grace removes that obstacle to you so that you will get what other people probe at and then turn to one side because it's an obstacle. William Branham, being God, is no obstacle to me. In fact, it is very wonderful.
Praise the Lord.
Because now I've got some confidence beyond all this other stuff. See? Now, Moses had the Word. Now remember, after the Word was made manifest, now listen, Moses was Moses again. But after the Word was manifested, God was God again, talking of Jesus in his day. And after William Branham gave this Word, William Branham was William Branham again. See, but while the Word was in him to be given out, he was God. Now there is how he is God to the people. Jesus said, "Why callest thou me good? There's only one good, that's God. Worship God." How could he say it? Same thing is going on now. See, there's no difference. It runs into continuity. Now, for he wasn't Moses no more. But while that Word was in him to be given out, he was God. For he wasn't Moses no more. He had the Word of the Lord for that age. Now, in other words, Jeremiah was no longer Jeremiah. Moses was no longer Moses. Jesus was no longer a man. William Branham was no longer William Branham. Now notice, nothing could touch him until that was over.
Amen.
Had the Word with him. In other words, William Branham could not be taken off of the scene until God was finished with him concerning this message. Or say even this part of the message. I'm not fussing with anybody about William Branham coming back, because he's coming back.
Amen.
When he comes back, he's not just going to go around and say nothing and wave his hands. It's going to parallel the ministry of Jesus Christ, I do believe, which says when Jesus came back from the dead, he spoke to them concerning the things of the kingdom. What else would William Branham talk about? How are you? How's your mother? How's your sister? How's your kids? Well, he might, but I doubt it. Because if he doesn't know all about it by that time, he's a pretty poor example of, I think, a resurrection man. I wouldn't buy that. I would only buy one thing. When he comes back, he will tell us concerning the things of the kingdom. You say, could that be where the new name comes? I don't know. It certainly could be. I got no problem with that. You say, well, would he have to come back just today? I got no idea. Why do you make questions? He's coming back. Isn't that enough?
Amen.
You didn't go around and say, William Branham on the scene, I think there's a great prophet coming. Oh, is it William Branham? There's a great prophet coming. You didn't know nothing about him. You didn't know nothing.
Right.
So what's the big to-do now? What's the big hurrah now? You ever stop thinking you might miss him? He might not look you up? That's a good little somber and little thinking over it. You know, there's just too many people got too many answers. When a lot of people, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of answers. Fool you on that. One prophet, one answer.
Amen.
You remember, he can't talk out of two sides of his mouth at one time or any other time. He's talking to different things. You got to learn to put it together. Maybe not learn, but let God put it together. See? Nothing could touch him. That was over. Had that Word with him. So therefore, when he came, the people turned their heads and they couldn't understand. He had been changed. He was a different fellow. He came with that Word and he put on a veil. The Bible said over his face, for he had the Word and he was that Word to them. Now, let's say William Branham comes on the scene. Now, if he's going to attract any attention, he's going to have some kind of a veil. There's no two ways about it, because as a person, he couldn't pretty well attract attention. So what's he going to have? He's going to have miracles and signs and wonders that vindicate him to be the man that God said he was in that scripture. Now that's going to be a veil to the people right there, because the denomination creed said, well, I there's not a prophet coming and there's nothing like this coming. So he's got a veil right there, because why? If you don't pierce that veil and see behind it that God is doing it, God in the prophets, you'll go right into Pentecost with your gifts. Like I said last night, gifts are not the answer. The giver. The baptism gives way to the Holy Ghost himself. See? Time gives way to eternity. Partial word gives way to full word. See? Physical life gives way to immortal life. Everything's giving away, brothers and sisters. It's all moving up. Moving rapidly.
Yeah.
See? Because the two dimensions are coming closer and closer. There's no two ways about that, see? So Brother Branham had this veil given him by God to put over him, plus the fact that he was just a man. See? The people expected too much out of Brother Branham. Like one fellow said, he said, Brother Branham, he said, wasn't that prophet? Why? He told the people, he said, to bow their heads while devils were being cast out. He's why? He said, that's not in the Bible. So William Branham was a false prophet. That was his idea. You talk, listen, brother, sister, it's okay to be a nut for Christ if you're a nut like Christ. But if you're on a different tree, you're a different kind of a nut. Or you're on a different chariot, you're a different nut. I mean, people say the craziest things. Where is a man's authority to stand up against a vindicated man?
Amen.
And make a statement that, you know what, that's typical Pentecostal hogwash. Oh, see how great I am. I got some too. I'm wonderful. Are you? Well, I ain't wonderful, bless God. Now that goes not for my wife. She thinks I am, and I think she's wonderful, so we have a nice admiration party going on. But that's the way it should be in the family. But outside the family, forget it, you know. And I'm sure you're wise. Now look at Moses. Oh, brother, here's going to be an insult. But if Moses, as Paul said here in 2 Corinthians and 3rd chapter, Moses had to veil his face with that type of glory upon him. Now watch. That type of glory. Now the glory was genuinely of God. His face was shining. And I said, I've got to put a veil over. Because that glory is going to pass away, see? It was a natural glory. That was a natural law. And Moses, knowing that law had to perish, but the glory was so great that it blinded the people, so they had to put a veil over his face. How much more will it be? Spiritually blinded people. Now he's telling you something here. He said that glory, which is going to pass away, blinded the people without Moses putting a veil over his face. Well, all right. Let's just bring it down then to the spiritual. What if God began doing something apart from a man? Brother Brandon will bring it up. Just give me time. But what if he began blasting himself out here without using a carrier vessel? Well, come on, what do you do with it? What do we do suddenly if somebody, not even at a church meeting, it could happen anywhere, suddenly just say, well, this is the worst case in the world, and it's going to be healed. Nobody even said it. And suddenly that case is healed. They say, hey, what's going on here? God's got to have some kind of a vehicle. Now you go to the Roman Catholic Church, and they've got vehicles that are very strange, and there's very funny things going on. They have these Madonnas that cry. Here's a statue, and it eats genuine salty tears. And the Pentecostal came up with something better. Understand that a man, this was an Anglican priest, I guess, that got speaking in tongues, that were full of the Holy Ghost under the Pentecostal regime. And so when he was taking a shower one morning, and he wiped himself off, blood appeared on the towel, and the voice said, this is the blood of Jesus Christ, and they analyzed it, and they say it was human blood. Now, you know that voice was crazy. That voice was the devil, because that was not the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That had gone back to the elements. So they analyzed blood, and it comes out to be human blood. Very, very strange things are claimed. Now, look, you get these things being done, and there's not a channel that's given to us in the Word whereby we receive illumination. Where do you go? You just go crazy. Everybody's gone.
Amen.
See? So there's got to be a way that it comes. And so the way it came was the Word of God coming the way God wanted it through Moses, and Moses there stood with that. Didn't deviate. That becomes a veil to the people. Because, like Peter said to Brother Brown, hey, look, why do you bawl the women out all the time? Why do you fuss about their short hair and their short skirts and the slacks thing? Why don't you get them spiritual by teaching them spiritual things, spiritual gifts? Why? He said, how can I do that? They don't know their ABCs. Now, you see, he was veiled to the people right there by staying strictly with that word. So you got all these veils in here, brother, sister. I don't care what you say. Now, Moses had the carnal law of condemnation, no grace, no nothing, just condemn you. But this we're speaking about. Now, he said, that had no pardon. That just told us what you were, and this gives you a way out. It does today. You're vindicated, the vindicated word. Now, page 22, paragraph 133. And when that word is unveiled, oh my, what kind of faith will it be? Now, watch what he's saying. Here's Moses. He's walked in the pillar of fire. He's in the presence of God. God gave the word. The word is in him. The glory of God is shining round about him. His face is shining. That didn't happen to Brother Branham. He got pictures instead. See, you know his face was different, of course, and we could see that expression, but that's not what Moses had. See, that glory was going to fade. This doesn't fade. William Branham off the scene, the glory is greater than ever. The word of God is richer, deeper, same word, same wonderful. See? All right, listen. When that word is unveiled, oh, what kind of a faith will it be? Now, if you can get past the veil on the mind, get past the veil of God using a man, get past the veil of how God is literally using a man. Not just using a man, but how he's using a man. The man's characteristics, his conduct, the way he dresses, all those things. What he himself deliberately puts in front of you to see which way you're going. Now, you know something? You're getting into what Hebrews 11 talks about. People that just wouldn't stand still for defeat. They knew something was there and said, we're going to have it. First heard Brother Branham, I didn't hear him. He didn't preach. I said, if you ever listen to any man, that's the man you'll listen to. And yet I'm accused of changing Brother Branham's mind when he all the time changed my mind. So you see, you'll never get anywhere if the world's fully on him. Just don't waste your time, brother, sister. If you're going to have some time, give it to your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Talk the word, live the word. Have a good witness before the people. The way the Bible said Jesus did before Pontius Pilate. Yeah, just right down the line. But forget this stuff out there. You can't win an argument. Don't bother trying. Just walk on. See, that veil, that word is unveiled today. What kind of a faith will it bring forth if it brought forth at that time death? It'll bring the kind of faith that was at the graveside of Lazarus. I am the resurrection of life, and he that believeth in me, though he did, yet shall live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never perish. Do you believe this? Now remember, he's come down with a shout, with a voice. The shout is the word which is purely vindicated for this hour, which will bring forth the dead, because he comes down, sets himself at the head of the church to raise the dead and to change us. And we don't get one bit of preeminence. It all goes to him. Now, what kind of a faith is it going to bring forth? It's going to bring forth rapturing faith, resurrection faith. See? Now, it'll have to be veiled. How is it going to be veiled? Number one, through a false interpretation of the Bible. Let's go check that veil. 1 Thessalonians. Now, I hope you're following me now, Brother Sitchin, because as far as I know, I'm right on target with what I'm preaching here. My brother said, break those veils. See? Verse 15. For if this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that they which are alive and remain, that's 1 Thessalonians 4 chapter, under the presence of the Lord, the coming, shall not in any way take precedence or preeminence over them that are asleep. For the Lord himself, now this tells you how it's done, the conditions, the events, shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, this is known as the appearing in the jargon of the fundamentalist. And the appearing to them is the rapture. Not so. Amen. That's the coming. Yeah. This is the appearing now. Amen. And has been going on for a long time. Same thing today. When you see his work. Now you have already seen or witnessing the appearing of the Lord. Now remember, appearing and coming are two different words. To appear and then to come. Now is the appearing. He's already appeared in these last days, right here with us in the last few years. That's not 2,000 years of his presence. That's the last few years.
Amen.
Now, that's a different presence then. When the baptism is giving way to the baptizer. When the Son of God, who never changes from being Son of God, breaks into the role of Son of Man, he can still baptize anybody he wants with the Holy Ghost, and he's still standing here like in the day of Paul. We're right back to true Pentecost. We're right back to the pattern. Can people break that veil of tradition? The answer is the majority, no way. They can't break through it. You know why? Too many questions. You know, the woman is different from the man. And if you don't, men don't know that, except physically, you've got an awful shock coming. The woman is absolutely different from the man. Question, 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 question. Men don't. Men listen, they don't understand me, walk off, wait another time. Now, it's not a bad thing. My wife asks a lot of questions, but she has every right to, because I'm a nervous, flighty kind of a bird, and I've not been nice to her many times, and so if she doesn't ask me a lot of questions, know exactly where I stand, then she's nervous because she might not please me. But you know, the church is not that way. The church asks questions, that people question. They can't sit still and listen to a man. A prophet, like brother, the scripture says, though a man declare it unto you. That's, I think, Acts the 13th chapter. That brother Brad said, find that bride that is willing to stand still and listen. But you can't get people to listen today. The minute you say something, there's a question in mind, so they're not listening, they're questioning to give you rebuttal. Why don't they just shut up or don't bother the poor guy?
Amen.
I learned that years ago under the prophet. People can bug me to death with questions. Why don't you just sit down and listen?
Amen.
You might get the answer the very time you sit down and listen. But you keep asking questions, you got no room for answers. This is not question time. This is answering time. The seals have been opened. Now open our minds. Get rid of the veil. See? Now the great major veil here is misinterpretation. They can't tell one from the other. And it's too bad they can't, but then what are you going to do about it? Okay, the second veil is the prophet. Why do we need a prophet? I've got God. Hallelujah. Who needs this? Now, you know that's the people's mind. The third thing is the mind that we're talking about, which is veiled by creeds and dogmas. Now, let's just see what you got to do with the mind. That's in 2 Corinthians over here that Brother Branham read. That's why we're talking about the unveiling of God. How do you unveil God? Get rid of your own veils to begin with. And what you can't do, let Him do. And the more veils you rip through, the more you see God. And then you come to the veil of the prophet, you can only see God through the prophet. In the prophet, through the prophet. Sorry about that. Which I don't believe it. Well, you don't believe the Bible. First Kings 18, Elijah was there on the mountain, and he had to identify who the true God was. Was it Baal or was it God? Why, they got so far away from God and knew only Baal, they didn't know a thing about God. Why, he said, Lord, he said, let the people know, and their hearts are turned back. He said, as far as I'm concerned, they're turned back. And as soon as he prayed, the fire fell. They said, that's God. They said, that's God.
Amen.
I said, kill the prophets of Baal. They're going to die. 2 Corinthians. Brother Branham reading. Chapter 3 and the 6th verse. Who has also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, the Spirit gives life. Now Paul said, I'm a minister of this very thing that you're talking about. And what is it? The veils. I'm going to unveil God and help you unveil so God can be unveiled to you. Because I'm the minister. It's going to take a ministry. Listen, brother, sister. I know if you say, I'm going to sit at home and just hear tapes. That'll take care of it. It'll take care of it, all right. I don't need this ministry atmosphere. That's fine. You got it. You don't need it. Fine, just go your way. No problem. When they get that far engrossed in the wrong thing, just what are you going to do? But if the ministration of death written and engraved in thorns was glorious, so the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, whose glory was to be done away. Now that's under natural law. Now remember, Brother Branham could have pulled a veil over his face like Moses, and there was a veil there of the human nature, the whole thing. It was naturally there. But remember, in this hour, there was no veil over him in the sense that the glory was not blasting through and showing God, because all the strings were pulled out. Brother Branham stood right there, and God could do anything he wanted to do. Creation, the whole bit was in there. And this glory doesn't fade. It's going to take us into the millennium. The pillar of fire takes us in there. All right, there's a difference between the two men, but the ends are what God wants. All right, verse 8. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be much more glorious to be no comparison? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Now remember, one was condemnation, one is not condemnation. One is bringing forth the headstone, crying, grace, grace. Christ cannot be with the bride physically, except under grace. The power of God could not come into the church by the obedience of man, but under grace.
Amen.
It couldn't come any other way. All right, so therefore it's a matter of grace. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. Now it tells you right there, you'll go back and talk about Moses. He's not a patch on Jesus, but you'll turn Jesus down. That's right. Now they'll go back and talk about Jesus, and it's the same one, greater than ever, and they'll turn him down flat. Now, wherein Moses had no glory by reason of the glory that excelleth, then you tell me where Jesus' ministry in this hour is not greater than the ministry of his hour in the flesh. His own prophet said he had more success in his ministry in my life than he had in his own life of flesh. What's it going to do? Going to bring forth the dead? Going to bring forth the rapture? And he's going to do it all. Not William Branham now. No, no, no. The God of William Branham.
Amen.
William Branham's a veil. See? Now, for if that which is done away is glorious, that which remains is more glorious. It remains is greater. Seeing then we have such a hope, we speak with great plainness of speech. Now, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Now listen carefully. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Now watch, let's get the 13th verse again. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Now he put a veil over it, and that signified, now let's get an understanding here, signification that the full revelation to the people was not at that time and in evidence. Now William Branham did not veil himself as Moses veiled himself in this respect, showing you that there was something left to come. It's all been given to us. And he said, the bride under the seven seals and the seven thunders has everything she needs to put her in the rapture. What has this brought forth? It's brought forth a rapturing faith. Far greater than healing, brother, sister.
Amen.
Far greater than healing. Okay, we're getting down to the deadline. We got a little bit to go? Okay, five. Okay, I'm going to finish it up. Now listen, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Now it tells you right there, there's a veil over the minds because they were taught by the priests. Today the veil is over the minds of the people because we've been taught by the theologians.
Right.
Now therefore the veil on the mind has to be torn away. So see all these veils in there. But every single veil, if in its proper order is dealt with, will bring us to the glory of God, which will take us into rapture. It's worth it to get rid of all this junk we've got our minds cluttered with. But even until this day when Moses read the veils upon the heart. Now, what about it? The veil on the mind goes down here. With the heart man believeth. Your soul's dead, hasn't got a light. Now listen, it starts in the mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is the last hour to repent, to change your mind. The message to Laodicea, change your mind. Get the veils off of your mind. Forget what you ever learned about the appearing. The appearing is not the rapture.
Amen.
That's coming.
Praise God.
The appearing's now.
Praise
God's not asked to be some superficial, stupid little thing. Well, I'm really not there, but I'll just pretend I'm there. What's that?
Amen.
We're dealing with a glory that won't fade. See? Brother Branham, being a prophet, you put him in a category that's different from the rest of being veiled. Sure, he was a veil. But you show me we didn't pull out all the stops to reveal that one. In other words, there's nothing left but going on if you want to go on. There's nothing to hinder you anymore. You don't have to look for anything else. See? If something's going to come, it'll come right out of this. Brother Bass said it. He said, if that great one comes, he's another man. He said, then I wasn't that one. He said, I must decrease and he must increase. Who's he talking about? The same words of John the Baptist. Why, he said, the same one that was here in the flesh is here in the spirit. We'll go into that as we get in other sermons on it. To show you names, titles, and person. By the grace of God, I'm opening my mouth on that one. It's tough. But it's got to come. It's not that somebody's got to do it and I'm that person. Don't think that for 1 minute. I'm going to tell you, I want to know for myself. If I'm allowed to know. Nevertheless, when it'll turn to the Lord, the veil should be taken away. Well, how do you know if your mind's turning to the Lord? Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, 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 mind's for the Lord, 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 Lord. Oh, forget it. Get with that. Here's where it gets turned. To this word, the message. See, the Spirit of the Lord, there's liberty. We all with open face beholding the glass of the glory of the Lord. Looking like in a mirror. What's the reflection? You're seeing yourself. And what do you see? You see Christ. Brother Brandon said, he doesn't see you. You talk through the blood. He hears your voice. And he sees your representation. And he said, if you've got representation now, you had it then. You're right back.
Praise.
You don't worry about your theophany. If you don't worry about theophany, oh, you bypass it. What's the matter when you pick it up? It picks you up. Oh, the devil will use every trick in the book to get you off this simple little reality here. Simple little reality. See? Just accept those simple statements. You can't figure them anyway. No man can. But God's being unveiled. It's not what. Not the who. Brother Branham would use the word what, because he used the word it more than who. As Brother Brand said last night, it's the how of it. How is he being unveiled? Sure, there's one God. There's one God, and there's one prophet at a time, and there's one bride.
Amen.
We have God, we have the prophet, we've got the Holy Spirit, we are part of the bride. We're going on, brother, sister. There's no turning this bride back. And if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere, brother, sister. And I hope by the grace of God, we won't stand in her way, but we'll be cheering her on. Like Brother Branham said, that's true love. Right? Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again, Lord, that we, though we take a lot of time in these things, it opens up more and more to see how it is that no wonder the world can't see. There's just too many veils there. There's too many little things that have dropped like sacks over their head, Lord, like burlap bags, to take away the vision. That even when the sun is out there at its brightness and its zenith, blasting right out, can't see a thing. Miracles right before their eyes and can't see them. And here we are, Lord, in this hour. And Father, we're only here because of your grace. And we're so pleased, Father, that you called us and gave us opportunity. Gave us the ability, Lord, to, because it's of you, to come and see these things that the world calls crazy, calls it the devil, calls everything else. But Lord, we know it's you. As much as we know anything, we know it's you. It's got to be you. We know, Lord, that people are trying to equate this and that to this and that, and God knows what. Lord, only you know what they're trying to do. Because we know that only you're smarter than the devil. And he's put all these things into people's hearts and minds to make them wonder what is out here. What is going on? Is there revolution? Is there this? Is there that? When the secret is that the truth is it's God. It's you, Lord. And we know today in whom we have believed and we are persuaded that you're able to keep that which we've committed unto you against that day. And that day is this day. We know, Lord, that we've committed everything to this word the best we know how. As far as our understanding, this is our hope that if this doesn't do it, what we don't know what is going to do it, Lord. We wouldn't have any idea. We wouldn't know how to place it. But Lord, we're persuaded. And that against what you might call the world, the flesh and the devil, in our own problems with our own lives, which there is a lust of life in wanting knowledge and all these things, Lord, and against it, we say, no, sir, there's only one thing, and that's what we've seen in this hour and heard in this hour. So, Father, here we are. We're putting our whole hope on this ministry that's been revealed to us and how the prophet taught it. And we're not complaining, Lord. We're just giving back to you what we have in our hearts, and I believe we're giving it back right, Lord, and you're the only one that really knows our hearts. But, Father, I know this one thing, at least I hope I do, and the people here with us this morning understand that if this isn't it, there's nothing, then what would we do? Yes. We're convinced that, like the apostles, we've come that far. We haven't come to where they are in many ways. And I don't know just if we're really where they were when they said, we know, we're convinced, we're sure that you alone have the words of eternal life. I don't know, Lord. I can't judge that. But I know that in our own little feeble way, we can say, and mean it. We think we mean it just all the way down the line that this is it. That we're not looking for anything else except to be just your word coming forth more and more. That same word, yeah. and this living word is going to bring forth in flesh, which we're believing is our flesh or it's somebody's flesh out there. They're going to come out of the graves. There's going to be a change of the bodies into immortality. There's going to be a catching away of the wedding supper. There's going to be a beautiful convocation of the bride when the dead come back and we're changed, we're all one together. It's going to be fantastic.